Dealing with the parasha of the construction of the Mishkan, just one or two quick points, basic points on the parasha. One thing, the pasuk starts off and gives a whole detailed list of all the ingredients, so to speak, that went into the Mishkan. So you have Techumita, Mizal, Vaches, Benachayshas, Chelas, Targamon, Telashani, Vashani, Vashesh, Be'izim, and on and on and on. And at the end of the list, we have Avnei Shayham, Avnei Miluim, La'ifed, La'chayshin, special diamonds, unique stones that were used for filling the Eifed and the Chayshin. So Chaim asked the question, he says he would think, if you're giving a whole list, you start off with the most precious things first, the most rare commodities, something that's really hard to get. And then you work your way down to the rest of the list of things you also need. So he asks, and seeing that the most precious things they had, based on looking at the list, as much as gold and silver obviously cost a lot of money, the Avnei Shayim, Avnei Miluim should rank on top of the list. And according to that, it really should go first. And he offers a number of terutzim, but one thing he does point out, and he says that the reason why they put last, he suggests, is because it says, he quotes the member of Chazal, that the Avnei Shayim and Avnei Miluim were not brought by anybody specifically. They came down the Nunim, they were yared by Nunim. Why were they yared by Nunim? They came down from the clouds with the Mun. Why? We know the story, the Nesiim came along and they offered to bring whatever is needed at all, they're going to cover any deficit that stands after the collection. We'll cover the entire deficit. Comes the end of the Kavos HaMishkan, the entire period of everyone collecting everything, and everything is full, there's nothing left needed. And they had Chlish Sadas, they felt bad, here they were offering to cover the whole deficit. And here you have one of the only times you have a collection and there's no deficit at all. So they feel all bad, what should they do? So the one thing that they were lacking, they couldn't get a hold of at all in the Midbar, they came down in the clouds. Says Rechaim, that they came b'lai tarech v'yagia. They came with no hard work, no labor, no effort invested in bringing them. There's everything else out there. Over the course of time, they had accrued, they got their money, they got their things, where they got their wealth in the stream, other places. But every person had to go through the process of getting his things, arranging, building up his assets, and ultimately giving it to the Mishkan. He put hard work into it. He says, these things were brought without any tarech v'yagia. Which means that Rechaim is saying a pretty fascinating lesson. He's saying, at the end of the day, the Mishkan got what they got regardless. And everyone gave what they gave regardless. But somebody who gives something without the Yagiyah, someone who gives something easy come, easy go, that's not a big deal. That ranks last in the list of what Kosh Baruch was Machshiv in the list of what was given. It was given, it was precious, it was wonderful. But if it wasn't given through the Tarech Yagiyah, that's something that's far less significant in the Kosh Baruch Hu's eyes. Take it a drop further, the Moshe Feinstein points out, beginning the Pasha says, Me'ez Kal Ishay Yidvenu Libay Tikhuas Shumasi. Take an Adava from anybody who's Yidvenu Libay. The Moshe asks, what do you mean? You're going to force the guy who doesn't want to give? What's the question here? A guy, you better leave, but he's the guy who should give. Who else are you going to take it from? But generally, in Sukkah, we're not Christ. But anyways, and certainly here, Moshe says, we wouldn't force anybody to give. Even if we needed it, we wouldn't force anybody. So what are we saying here? So Moshe goes so far as to suggest that the Sivai to give to the Mishkan was only said to those who wanted to give. Somebody who felt the need, he wanted to give, he was the one who was told to give. And there was no, he said, anybody who did not want to give and just gave it anyways, was the guy that ain't a mitzvah. The mitzvah wasn't said to them, Hashem wasn't talking to them. Which means is, basically, there's two approaches. So people look at life and say, look, there's a need. If there's a need, I'm happy to stand up, I'll fill in the gap, I'll stand there, I'll help out. So the Tzarech and Klal Yisrael, someone has to take care of that, I'll take care of that. There are others who aren't waiting for that thing to show up. They're not waiting for that deficit. They're not waiting for that lack. The people who want to help because they want help, they believe in the cause, they want to look out there and see what they can do. Avraham Avinu, when it comes to chesed, sits outside his tent, there's nobody there. There's nobody who needs him. Nobody at all needs him, but he's sitting there looking to do chesed with somebody else. He's out there being proactive, looking for somebody. The Nesiim were offered a tremendous assistance, but cover the entire deficit. But if you want to help, if you're motivated to help because you want to help, you don't wait for the deficit because it doesn't really matter. The deficit is not really your concern. Your concern is if you want to be a part of the action, you want to be a part of the people to help. These Venulibai people, those are the ones who Kosh Baruch Hu wants to dove it from. Somebody at the end of the day feels bad, he wants to help out, we'll take it. But you're only at the bottom of the list. You're not the people I really want to talk to in getting the doves. That's one point. And just to bring up one quick point as far as the Chiddush is concerned, we know that it says that the ladies have the halacha, mixes yomtif on Rosh Chodesh. Why is that? Because they went ahead and ran to bring all the jewelry for the Mishkan. It says they didn't bring for the Egel, and when the camel comes to the Mishkan, they come running to bring. Because of that, they had a special yomtif on Rosh Chodesh, which we have till today, a mixed yomtif. It's interesting, the men also brought things for the Mishkan. The ladies weren't the only ones. The men brought plenty of things for the Mishkan. So if that alone, bringing for the Mishkan, would qualify you for special yomtif, men should also have a mixed yomtif on Rosh Chodesh. The only differentiation between men and women in this regard was what they didn't do. The ladies didn't give by the Egel. When it came to the Mishkan, they gave, but the Egel didn't give. Men gave to the Egel, no problem, they gave to the Egel. Comes to the Mishkan, we'll give it to the Mishkan. Apparently, you see here, you know, somebody gives a lot of money to Tzedakah. But at the same time, he goes ahead, he takes a lot of money, he blows up the car, he blows up the vacation, blows up everything else too. The guys like to blow money, that's not a big deal. You gave a lot of money to Tzedakah, it's a tremendous, wonderful thing, but we're not going to make a yomtif out of that. Somebody who knows how to spend money, when it comes to the wrong things, he says, I'm holding my money back, I'm not ready to spend it on everything else too. And when it comes to the right thing, then he lets go and says, here, I'm opening my pocketbook, I'm opening my purse strings for this, this is where I'm going to give, that's where you make a yomtif out of.